As Sister Carolyn Craig would say, I hope you got your happy nappy today. I got one short one, but it was a good one. So I hope you're rested up and ready to study from the Word of God again. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. The whole armor of God is what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to approach it from this standpoint. We've studied about God and faith in God this morning. And God's Word gives us instructions on the whole armor of God because the devil wants something. And God has given us the tools whereby we can defeat or at least withstand the devil. And we're going to begin with Ephesians chapter 6 because this verse tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're wrestling against the devil and his evil forces. Now that term wrestling, wrestling means a contest between two in which each tries to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. You ever watch the old wrestling on TV? And they pin them and they count them down? He's out. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to pin us down to where we're out. But see, this wrestling match that we're in is between the two of us. So we have the possibility of winning because God has given us the tools. When we talk about the devil, though, he's not going to play fair. He's going to cheat. In fact, John records for us in John chapter 8, where Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do." Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here and those doubters and unbelievers. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is the father of it. Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. He's not going to play fair. He's going to cheat at every turn to defeat you, to defeat me, to defeat us, and try his best to win out over God. You see, the devil, being the father of lies, his desires find place in the hearts and lives of people who don't hear or don't want to hear the words of Christ. There are people in our society, people in our lives, that would rather go by what man says than by what God says. They put too much emphasis or more emphasis than is necessary in what man says, I believe or I thinks, than what God tells us to believe and think. You see, he gains his advantage when we ignore him. And that's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. I want to suggest to you and remind you that the devil is such a strong enemy of the cross that we cannot afford to ignore him. We can't say, well, he'll go away. That's wishful thinking. You know, we have problems in our lives sometimes and we don't want to address those problems because we think, well, it'll go away. I hear we have cicadas coming this year. They will go away. But the problems that the devil brings into our life, they will not go away. They will stay and they will fester and get worse and worse and worse if we choose to ignore it. Look at our health problems. I don't know what kind of health problems you may have. You may not have any. You may be so young that you don't have any health problems. Except growing pains. But the older you get, you're going to have more health problems. Can you choose? Can you afford to ignore your health problems? If you're diabetic, if you have high blood pressure, if you have this or that or whatever, heart issues, can you afford to ignore those things? The short answer is no. And neither can we afford to ignore the devil, because it's more important than even our health issues. But just like a wrestler, we have to anticipate what his next move is going to be so that we can, when we encounter it, be victorious. And just like a wrestler, we've got to be aggressive. We've got to be aggressive with the truth and put our foot on his neck instead of him putting his on ours and pinning us. You see, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tagged out. I want to win. I want to win and be on the Lord's side. So I want to consider some of the desires that the devil has for us. The first desire is the devil wants lies where there should be truth. Think about that. John chapter 8 verse 44, we've already noticed this. You are the father of the devil, or you are of your father the devil. He desires of your and the desires of your father you want to do. The devil doesn't want you to believe the truth. He doesn't want you to know what the truth of God's word is. Remember, he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. He doesn't want you to know the truth of God's word. He doesn't want you to study, to be honest about what God would have you to do. There are too many people in this world that want to mix what the word of God says with what the world says, because they think that God, being the ultimate supreme being that he is, wants you to be happy in whatever circumstance or situation that you find yourself in. And it's just not true. The devil wants that. God wants you to be happy in his truth. The truth of honest speech, like in Ephesians 4 and verse 25. So we go to chapter 6 then, and Paul tells us in this armor that we are to put on that we are to gird our loins with truth. The belt that would hold their clothing together was the belt of truth that Paul says that we are to put on. It's what holds everything together in this armor that we are to wear. It's what binds it all together. The truth of God's word is what holds everything in place. But the devil don't want you to believe the truth. He would rather you to believe a lie. A second thing to consider is the devil wants darkness where there should be light. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age," that is the devil, "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The psalmist repeatedly tells us to use the word of God as a lamp before our feet so that we can see where we're going. That's the word of God that we ought to use today to shed light on the pathway that we're traveling in life so that we can see where we're going. But the devil doesn't want that. He wants you to wander around in darkness. Have you ever done that? Walked around in darkness? Even if it's just out on a moonless night, it's hard to see, isn't it? It's hard to see. And your eyes may begin to play tricks on you to where you think you see something or thought you see something, or maybe you think you see a pathway and it's not a pathway, but it's taking you farther and farther away from where you need to be. You see, that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be farther away from God. And the problem is, the light has come into this world. Christ came into this world as the light, and he is exposing every evil that the devil throws at us. The gospel light of the knowledge of God's glory in Christ. Brethren, we need to turn to Christ. We need to let him be the center point of our life so that his word is shining before us so that we're not lost. And I want to suggest to you that even as Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, Christians are children of light. We're to be the light of the world so that the world can see us and be like a beacon of hope for those that are lost in this world so that they can come to us and eventually come to Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "For you were once darkness." Notice he didn't say you were once in darkness. He said you were once darkness. That's the life that we lived at one point before we come to Christ. He says, "But now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Be the example for the world." But you see, the devil doesn't like that. That's why he wants us to let our lights go out. We need to walk as children of light. And again, we go back to the whole armor of God. And in chapter 6 and verse 15, Paul writes, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gird your feet, protect your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that you're not wandering in darkness. A third consideration is that the devil wants a place to stand where we shouldn't give him any place. We shouldn't provide the devil with a place to stand in our lives. But so many times we want the devil. We do not mind if the devil is standing shoulder to shoulder with us as we go through this life. In Ephesians 4 and verse 27, Paul writes, "Nor give place to the devil." Don't allow him to have any position, any place in your life. Don't. If you do, then you're straddling the fence, and that's non-productive. Don't give Satan any opportunity. Don't give him a foothold in your life, or don't give him an occasion to act in your life. Bar the door. He's like a door-to-door salesman like they used to come around selling encyclopedias. And I know some of you young folks don't know what I'm talking about. Vacuum cleaner salesman. They come to the door and it's, "Yes, sir, can I interest you in an Electrolux vacuum cleaner?" Y'all remember them days? "I'm not interested." "Oh, well, now wait. Let me at least tell you what the offer is. Can I interest you? Oh, I see you've got children. Let me offer you a deal on these Encyclopedia Britannicas." "Oh, it's the best thing." And really, it was the best thing because we didn't have internet at the time. It was our internet. And now they're obsolete. How many of you still have the encyclopedias at your home sitting on a bookshelf collecting dust? We are not to give place to the devil in our lives. We are to stand. Stand. Stand firm in the faith. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 16 that he is our shield. The word of God is our shield. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You ever watch these movies where the soldiers are concerned about the big weapons coming at them? Whether it's World War II or something like that. And they, "Oh, here comes a tank." And then it's a sniper's bullet that takes them out. Because their focus is on the big obstacle and not the little one. You look at the old knights in armor and they're worried about the horses that are coming at them with the knights with their poles on them that they're coming at them with. And they get hit by an arrow. They're distracted. We get distracted by the big things in our life, I believe, sometimes. And it's the small fire. And you know, Paul doesn't say that these fiery darts are all one size. What the devil's going to throw at us is a variation of size, I believe. Small problems and little problems. We may be geared for the big problems in life. And then something small comes along and it trips us up and we're down for the count. How many of us are prepared for all the fiery darts? Not just the big ones, not just the little ones. A fourth thing I believe is that the devil wants is he wants confusion where there should be order. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. What the devil really prefers is for the churches, the collection of saints, to be in a case of instability. There's no foundation. Now, I know you're going to say, but the Christ is the foundation. I understand that. But we have to have a foundation inside this congregation. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about we the people. We all have to stand firm on the Word of God. We have to be stable in that. You see, the devil wants us to be instable. He wants us to be in a state of disorder, where there's always some disturbance going on that is ultimately going to lead to chaos. That's what the devil wants. But a way to defeat that is for us to have heavenly wisdom that reflects good conduct. We need to turn to the Bible. We need to let the Bible be our foundation for everything that we say and do and teach here at Eastside. It needs to be what people will recognize Eastside for. There are churches throughout the pages of the New Testament that have a reputation. Go to the book of Revelation. There are seven churches there that each one has a different reputation. And we look at those reputations. Which one would we meet? Which one would we compare or match up to? Would it be the church at Laodicea, where we're lukewarm, we really don't care, we're apathetic? Would we be the church that has lost their first love? We've forgotten what our foundation is. We're not stable. We're in a sense of disorder. You see, that's what the devil wants out of us. That's what he wants for us. The devil wants us to be a congregation of God's people, and that's questionable, that are self-seeking. He would prefer to have bitter envy amongst us than peaceful, loving brethren. He would prefer that we boast about our own works. He would prefer that we lie about what's going on. Remember, he is the father of lies. And he would rather have us in a state of confusion. Confusion where evil is. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, what does that mean? That's the piece that covers the vital organs, if you will. It covers from the shoulders down to the waistline. It protects the heart, the lungs, the intestines, the liver, all of those things that are vital for your body to function. You can lose a leg, you can lose an arm, you can lose an ear, and you can still function. But you lose the heart, damage the heart, and you're done. You're done. The breastplate of righteousness. It's a place where there is integrity, where there is virtue, where there is purity of life, where there is righteousness, where there is a correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The devil wants confusion. Let's not let him have any. Another point is that the devil wants peace, where there should be war. And I know you're thinking, well, the devil wants peace? Absolutely. Because as we notice from Scripture, in Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, the Lord says, "They have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." The devil doesn't want us to stand up against sin. He doesn't want us to stand up against the powers of this world that are promoting immorality. We were just talking before services about commercials and things of that nature. You cannot watch any commercial right now that does not promote homosexuality. There's not many. And I remember when Volvo was the first one to come out. I remember when Will and Grace was the first TV show back years ago that promoted homosexuality. Well, I take it back. Maybe Three's Company with John Ritter. He pretended to be gay so he could live with two women to save on rent. Some of you older folks are going to remember a movie called Gone with the Wind. And Rhett Butler in that movie said one word. And the people that regulated the movies lost their minds. You can't say that on TV now. Let me tell you, we've gone to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. That is not even, we don't even bat an eye at that word anymore. But you'll hear them take the Lord's name in vain. You'll hear them use any variety of cuss words, slander, vulgarity, and the society that we live in. Yeah, we don't care. We don't care. We are at war. That's why Paul writes here about this armor that we're to put on. Put on the whole armor of God. We are at war against the world. Now I know it's not a war per se, but it is a spiritual war against immorality. It is a war against sin and error. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You see, there is a separating power of truth and godly living. We live godly, we live by the truth, and it's going to separate us from the rest of the world. So let me ask you a question. You go out into the world, do people recognize you as a Christian, or do they recognize you as one of them? You see, that's a telltale sign. What do they recognize us as? Do they recognize and say, oh, that's a godly person. That's a child of God right there. They are Christians. Or do you do like I used to do with some of my coworkers when I worked in factory work? I didn't know you was a member of the church. I had no idea that you were Christians. Because they mask it. Do we mask our Christianity, our love of God and our love of His truth when we go out into the world? Because we don't want people talking about us. We don't want people making fun of us. We don't want to stand up to the scrutiny and the pressures of the world. Paul says we're to put on the whole armor of God. Chapter 6 and verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand. Are you doing all? Are we doing all to stand when evil confronts us? Think about it. Are we? Or do we pick and choose our battles? Do we say, well, I don't want to talk about that today. Let me go talk to my preacher. Let me go talk to my elders and see what they tell me so I can get some background information. Why not study for yourself? Why not be able to stand on your own two feet when confronted with evil? Another thing is that the devil wants war when there should be peace. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, James writes, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Talking about Christians. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You know, it's a sad thing for Christians to battle one another. I've seen it. I've been involved in those battles. And it's not a pretty picture. And it leaves lasting scars. People say, well, let's go on and get over it. You never really get over it. You never do. And that's one of the sad realities about congregations and brethren that are at odds with each other. When there are wars and fights among you, among us, you see, the devil wants brethren to be at conflict with each other. He wants there to be strife among the brethren, because if that's the case, then we're not unified. We're not at unity. Paul tells us that we need to pray always. We need to be watchful. and have all perseverance. Again, we go back to chapter 6, and it should be verse 13, I believe. But he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. David Stone and I were talking this morning. I hope you don't mind me mentioning your name. But we were talking about that we don't pray as much as we ought to, or as much as we used to. And I've got a sermon I've got to work on because I've been asked to preach at another place up in July. And it's about prayer. The whole series is about prayer. Can you imagine that? 2 months long of Wednesday nights, a congregation is going to have sermons about prayer. And I had to pick one topic. And I'm thinking, I don't have a clue what to pick. So I decided to preach on answered prayers. Prayers that have been answered. How do we know our prayers have been answered? We know that they are answered. But notice again what Paul says here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for just the saints that we like. For just the saints that we get along with, right? Because I'm not praying for that brother or sister that has hurt my feelings, right? You see, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to hold a grudge. The devil wants us to stop praying for our brethren. The devil wants us to not pray for our leaders in position of authority because I don't like them. Paul says, pray for all leaders. Pray for everyone. Another point is the devil wants senselessness to abound where people should come to their senses. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul begins writing in verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We need to realize that there are people that are in our lives that are actually on the devil's side. They have the devil standing shoulder to shoulder with them. And he's whispering in their ear. And he's making it easier and easier for them to rebel against God. You see, what the devil does not want is he doesn't want the correction of truth, because that calms the spirit and restores sober thinking and watchful living. The devil doesn't want us to use common sense. He wants us to live our lives to where we are in a chaotic sense all the time. But he tells us, Paul does in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Protect your spiritual heart. Use some common sense. And the last point is that the devil wants tolerance towards sin when there ought to be resistance. James chapter 4 verse 17 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit your lives to God. Be wholeheartedly given to what God would have you to do. And James says through the inspired writing from God that when you do that, the devil's going to turn from you and flee. You're going to resist the devil because you're grounded by submitting to God. And Peter says pretty much the same thing in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. I want to suggest to you that humility cures worldliness. Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You say the devil is resisted when we are in the faith. Not the opinions of men. Not what man says, but when we are grounded in our faith, when we have that foundation that we need to stand firm on, the truth of God's Word. And finally, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord. Don't cower in the corner thinking, "Well, I don't know who's going to win this battle, so I'm going to step back and wait and see." One thing about the book of Revelation is it's a battle scene. And if you've never studied it, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Christ wins. Christ, God, they're going to win. They're going to beat out the devil. So you don't have to wait and choose a side. You can choose a side now. You can stand strong in the Lord. I don't care what the world tells you, because when the world tells you something, that's a fiery dart from the devil. That's why Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, to be able to withstand in the evil day. You see, Christians are in a spiritual battle against the devil. And our enemy, he's sneaky, he's cunning, he's crafty, he's deceptive, and he's powerful. That's what Paul talks about in the first part of chapter 6 here. The devil wants us to surrender. He wants us as Christians to surrender and not take a stand. But Paul tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, verse 17. And victory, victory is ours. And it is assured with us being in Jesus. Victory is yours. All you have to do is put on the whole armor of God, take the Word of God, and use it as your strong foundation to serve the Lord, to withstand the devil. I realize that there are some that may not be able to do that. We may struggle. I struggle. All of us are going to struggle from time to time. We get distracted thinking about the big problems that the devil's throwing at us and forget the small stumbling block. And it will cause us inevitably to trip and fall. But we need to watch out for everything that the devil throws at us. And we do that by allowing the Word of God to be the light before our feet. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount that we are the light of the world. We're not the light of the world if we're not using God's Word to our benefit. Our benefit. And when we use the Word of God to our benefit, then it benefits the world. It may be that you're here tonight. You've never put on Christ in baptism.